This is Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. CNA and Minor Projects Coordinator at BYU Idaho, John Reed, joined me in the studio to talk about his devotional address. How did you decide to speak about the Book of Mormon this week?
It's actually not just the importance of the Book of Mormon, but using the Book of Mormon in our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And I have the topic occurred to me quite a few years ago when I was serving as bishop here on campus. And I had a young lady with some questions and concerns, and I used some examples in the Book of Mormon to help her see some things that she could do a little different. And when we were done with the interview, she asked me how come I was never taught to use the Book of Mormon stories in my everyday life. And so we talked about that a minute, and she remarked that they read it as a family. She read it in seminary. She's read it herself. She knows it's true. But the practical, everyday use of the stories and examples of the Book of Mormon, she had not had that explained to her. And so I began to think at that time, and in counseling with ward members, I use the Book of Mormon often to show some examples of maybe some things they could learn and maybe adjust in their life. And I began at that time to think if I were to ever give a devotional talk, I would focus on how to use the Book of Mormon in our everyday life. That's when it started. And I had in my mind a sequence of stories that I would use. That's how the theme was developed. And I put it together. I've edited it several times. I've rewritten it. I have moved things around to me so it would flow a little bit better to make the thesis that I was trying to make.
You also mentioned in your talk about how, you know, there's students here with a variety of experiences. We all have struggles and hardships in your life, and the Book of Mormon can be a bit of a guide and a comforter. What are some ways that you have used the Book of Mormon as a guide in your life? How has that been applied to your personal life?
I think one thing that comes to mind that a portion of the talk or a point I make in there that my wife reminded me, King Benjamin, when addressing his people, said to not let your children fight and argue with one another, but should be taught to love and serve each other. As my wife and I were raising our children, she put those ideas and concepts into practice. There is much in the Book of Mormon. There are things that are very, very obvious, and things that are quite opaque. You can read them and you can get a comfort or an answer to something you're dealing with. And then years later, you can have another issue completely different. Go back to and read the same stories, and they will be applicable then just as they were and currently as they were before. My go-to chapter, if one has one, is chapter 8 of 1 Nephi, the vision that Lehi has of the tree of life. There is a lot of information in there. And not only that, but what Nephi then goes and explores and has revealed to him some explanation on what it really means, or what it could mean, or what it may mean in this circumstance. The outlay of stories are so varied and so vast. I picked for the talk I gave just a few that were I thought would be easy to look at some of the experiences we have in our everyday life, and maybe this could be a nudge to think about them in this aspect. I make the point in the talk that this is not intended to be a definitive work of the Book of Mormon, but simply something to give you a taste. Mm-hmm. There are many, many opportunities to learn different things at different times reading the same material.
Yeah, I love when you talked a bit about Laman and Lemuel and Nephi and how they went to get the plates from Laban and how they crept into the city. And you kind of talked a bit about that. And it was just an example of how we can find ways to apply the scriptures to our lives in different ways. It doesn't have to mean just one thing. And even the things that might seem like small details can be helpful. And you mentioned a bit about your family and your kids earlier. Tell me a bit about your family and how the Book of Mormon has helped you as a husband and father.
We have been married. We'll be married 40 years on February 12th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. When we first got married and had our first son, we have four sons. We didn't mean to, but they're about 2 years apart. It was not planning. It's just the way it worked out. With our oldest son, just a few weeks old, one evening or night, when my wife got up to feed her baby, I heard her talking to him. So I went out into the other room, and there she was sitting, feeding her baby and reading to him out loud from the Book of Mormon. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "You know, it seems to soothe him. And I'm just sitting here. I may as well read it." And I thought, good idea. And that began a process that continued for all of our sons. Their mother read to them from the Book of Mormon, typically, if not many times a day, at least daily. Now, by the time our fourth son came along, he got kind of gypped because the other boys would fight for position to sit closest to Mom, because we had had to move to the picture books by then so the other brothers could be entertained. But that began a daily study for our family of the Book of Mormon. I'm convinced, and so is my wife, that that helped us in raising our children. It gave us a standard by which we could go. Now, as our sons moved into seminary and got a little older, we shifted a little bit from reading start to finish chronologically into topically reading. And we would review topics they were studying in seminary or church. And then we would look and cross-reference and seek from the Book of Mormon support scriptures for those topics. And did we read every day? I don't know. I think so. We attempted to. Did they get something out of it all the time? That I don't know. But it created a pattern for me and my wife that we continue today. Our sons are all married, all have their own families, all on their own. And we still have that same pattern, my wife and I, of reading from the Book of Mormon every evening. And we share our ideas. And for us, we're currently at different places reading. And we will read back and forth, and we will talk about that which we're doing. Does this work for everyone? I don't know. I wouldn't even pretend to say that this is the best way to do it. But it's worked for us.
That's what matters.
I think so.
That's cool. I think that's powerful counsel that sometimes, even if you don't remember every single thing that you read all of the days, that there was a pattern there and you taught your children that pattern of relying on the Book of Mormon. You had several examples of different people in the Book of Mormon and their stories and applying those to our lives. Is there one specific person in the Book of Mormon that has been standing out to you lately? I'm sure you can relate to lots of them, but I don't know if you've recently been reading about one person who's kind of who you've connected with especially.
Currently, I think it would be Alma. I'm reading right now where he's teaching his sons about, you know, their responsibilities. And I allude to it in the talk about how, you know, Helaman is pretty stalwart, even though he's young, hasn't slipped too much. And the same with Shiblon, but Corianton has some problems. Now, what I find fascinating is his dad, Alma, does not condemn his son, but condemns the sin. And then he teaches him, and I'm certain he's taught him more than once, what he can do to come back into the presence of our Father. He goes into great detail about the effects of sin and how it can lead us away. And then he makes a wonderful case for the atonement of the Savior. That without that, without the atonement, then justice will be served. And without the atonement, justice would demand that none of us make it back into the presence of our Father. Justice can be our friend when it's meshed with mercy. But mercy can't rob justice without the repentance process. And that's currently where I'm studying, and I will read and reread and reread sometimes the same chapter three or four times until I get a pretty good feel of what it feels like in my mind that, okay, now it's time to move on a little bit. Every one of the main characters of the Book of Mormon play a different part when I get to the point. Love King Benjamin. Love his address. You know, Ammon. The first Ammon, when he taught with Limhi, and he helps get those people out of bondage. And then Ammon, son of Mosiah, and I bring that story out in the talk about working with Lamoni and becoming his friend. And a lot of groundwork has to come into play before a hard gospel discussion sometimes. He had to trust him. And that's a two-way street. They had to trust each other before we do that. Sometimes in our quest to share the gospel with those around us, we have a tendency to load up a plate of what we think is the right spiritual food for them and put it in front of them and then are surprised when they're not interested. Maybe we could back up a little bit and find out what they need first. Why give them a feast of Thanksgiving-type feast when all they want is some cheese and crackers? And learning that skill is a wonderful thing that we can glean from reading about these stories of the Book of Mormon.
You also talked a bit about the importance of having a plan of action and protecting our family and friends. And there's lots of examples in the scriptures of protection. And today, most students aren't leading an army or anything like that, but we do have friends and roommates that we can care for. Do you have any tips maybe to students here who want to do a little bit better at following these examples in the Book of Mormon?
We have to understand that any plan of action is kind of a moot point unless you have a vision of where you want to go with it. Meaning, the stories the parts I talk about in the Book of Mormon, taking ownership of that what you're going to do is a critical point. And not letting the influences around you distract from that. Now, we have to be flexible. We have to adapt. And I hope I make that point in the talk, that not everything works every time. I have some wonderful, great ideas that don't work out at all. But that doesn't mean they weren't good ideas. Just not practical at the time. So having a vision of what it is you're trying to do and not letting the forces around you sway you too much. I talk a little bit about the great and spacious building crowd. And, I'm reminded Elder Neil Maxwell once said, commenting about the group, he says, don't they have a bowling alley? Don't they have something they can go do? You know, meaning, why are they always bothering us? And I worry a little bit if in our quest to be friends with those that maybe are struggling a little bit with their testimonies, we wander too close to the mud of the filthy river, or we wander up the stairs of the great and spacious building thinking that we are trying to help someone out. Quite frankly, it's okay to say, you know what, that's an unacceptable activity. I'm not going to do it. I appreciate it. I feel you're okay, but it's just not for me. And there's nothing wrong with saying that and backing away.
Well, just as kind of a final question to round out the interview, all throughout the Book of Mormon, and as you've already mentioned, the atonement of Jesus Christ is a major theme, and all points to Jesus Christ. I guess just to finish off, how has the Book of Mormon helped you grow closer to Jesus Christ? And what would you say to students that maybe haven't recognized all the power that the Book of Mormon can have in that sense?
You know, the every teaching, every story, these 1,000 years experiences, starting out with the families that are involved, as well as the Jaredite nation, and all the time that, you know, is condensed into just a few chapters, all points to Jesus Christ, as you mentioned. I think in our own minds, if we can just have a little bit of confidence that it's true and let that seed nurture and grow, and the way to do that is feed it. You know, if you're struggling with something in your life, pray for help and then go to the Book of Mormon and read. And if it doesn't feel good to read where you are, flip it open to chapters down the to another place and just simply see what you feel. Most times, not all, but most times, the impressions that come to us from the Spirit of the Lord is because we're reading and thinking and pondering. It all points to the Savior. As a missionary, years ago, one of the first concepts we would teach is about the Book of Mormon, about the restoration of the gospel. And then we would typically leave a copy of the Book of Mormon with the family. And Mark, 3 Nephi, chapter 12, 11, 12, 13, as a starting point. No, that's not starting with Lehi. This is starting about the Savior. And typically that would spark an interest in finding out about him. And if one believes the Book of Mormon, then evidence is there to show that he is our Savior, that he is resurrected, and that he loves us. A point I make in the talk is about when he is praying to the Father in behalf of those people. Just verse after verse, just tender-hearted, and he pleads with our Father for them. And then he says, and all those that hear their words. I'm claiming that. I believe, or all those that believe their words, I should say. I believe their words. I believe the words that Nephi, the apostle at that time with the Savior, wrote. Therefore, he's praying for me. Can you imagine that? The Savior of the world, our elder brother, praying to our Father in my behalf? When I'm at my lowest, I can count on that. I know he's watching out for me. I know he has my back. He's never left me hanging. I've never been disappointed in my interaction with the Savior through the Spirit of the Lord. He's always came through. These are my experiences, and I'm convinced that a regular feeding from the Book of Mormon helps us gain that testimony, helps us gain that strength, 'cause life is hard. You know, life is really difficult at times, especially if you're here on campus and studying. You have a lot of pressure, a lot of being pulled a lot of different directions. And knowing that the Savior is, knowing that he really did, that he knelt in Gethsemane for us, that he hung on that horrible, torturous cross for us, and it's testified again and again and again in the Book of Mormon and by the Book of Mormon, is confidence to me that we can make it, that we can get through this.
That was an interview with devotional speaker John Reed.